it's taken over spring training, and it is so freaking cool. And it just ticks me off. The critics say that this is just a meaningless exhibition, and when guys get hurt, and there's been really two very significant injuries, which are always unfortunate, but this has been so worth it. And it's been so worth it to not just our country, to a lot of countries that love baseball. So it's just a major hit in my eyes.
Totally, Mike. And let's talk about last night's game. I mean, you know, the Shohei Ohtani. And I think one of the stories people talked about was, you know, he's been, I don't want to say lost in Anaheim. The guy won an MVP, you know, and he's, but in a way, he has never been able to play on a big stage. And last night was probably the biggest stage most American fans have seen him on. And we saw a guy very emotional. We saw him like kind of become this spiritual, emotional leader. And, oh, by the way, coming through with some huge moments,
yeah, about the biggest.
What did you think about the fact that we all as a country get to see him play in a big game?
Yeah.
Well, you're right. I mean, and it's a playoff atmosphere. I mean, you say the same thing about Mike Trout. You know, these guys, you think they're pretty stoic and there's not a lot of emotion in their game. They're very professional. And then all of a sudden you see Mike Trout go off and just look like he's the Tim Lincecum of the group, jumping up on top of everybody, going crazy, losing his mind. And the same thing with Ohtani last night when he hit the double in the bottom of the ninth game. I mean, he gets second base and he just erupts.
Yeah.
But we haven't seen that. And that's what we need to see from our heroes, from our best players. We need to see how much it means to them, because that's how much it means to us. And when it happens, it's magical. And that just set the whole tone for the inning. You could feel the Japanese team coming. You know, especially the pitchers for the Mexican team were nibbling with fastballs and falling behind the count consistently, and it was just going to happen. And, I mean, what an incredible moment for not only Japan, but for all of us. It was great. And the life in that stadium, oh, my gosh. It was incredible, and it has been every game. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, where do you generate that type of energy? How do you do that in March? If you're not in a basketball arena, you know what? It's tough to find, right? Well, not during the WBC, and it's been incredible in my eyes.
Mike, as this thing takes shape, it's only, I think, is it the fifth one ever? So it's still young. I mean, we check back, our grandkids maybe will be watching it. It'll be great. Do you think there's a movement saying, hey, this thing is a really good product that might get lost against March Madness for the casual fan?
It's an interesting point.
Should they move it to the middle, arrange a schedule where we have like a 2-week festival in the middle of the summer?
Absolutely not. No way. I mean, this works because, and you know, there are restrictions and guidelines. I mean, obviously, look, if this is October and, you know, you're laying your life on the line, and Julio Urías is coming in the game to finish that game, they're going to take their best arms. But because of the restrictions and how they can use pitchers and whatnot, you got to use what you can. I mean, it's not always your best bunch of guys out there trying to close it out. I think it parallels with getting ready for the season better now than it ever has been. And I think that the managers, as handcuffed as they have been, have pretty much stayed to the rules, and they've protected their pitchers and everybody, really. The only thing that has been sort of problematic is there are some guys that aren't getting any playing time. And like Bobby Witt Jr., he's got a couple of pinch running, a couple of, you know, late game defensive replacements and a couple of at-bats. He's really, you know, not getting ready for the regular season. But I think for the most part that they've handled it as good as they possibly could to get guys ready and yet maintain the integrity of the moment. But I think it's the only time to do it. I think this is the only time you can't go into the regular season and expose guys to injuries and take away from the energy of a regular season. I just think that would be a mistake. I think it's the only time to do it, and I think they're doing it right.
Well, it's certainly working for baseball fans right now, even if the TV numbers are tough against March Madness. And who knows, as it grows and grows and grows, maybe that's it. It's still young. Mike, we haven't even talked to you since the U.S. had those two wins and Trey Turner had his star turn. I mean, listen, you know, you saw him come in with the Nationals. He came to the Dodgers, unfortunately. Now he's a Philly. I mean, what a moment for this guy, right? And, you know, a grand slam when you're down 7-5 to Venezuela. That, to me, right now is kind of the moment, like the Adam Jones catch in 2017. But just that guy as a player. It's funny. How can a guy be that good with a glove the legs, and the bat.
He's just a gifted player. I mean, I love that at bat, you know, only because it was an 0-2 count and it was a hanging breaking ball, which, you know, this time of year you see hanging breaking balls. And he jumped on it, and he backspinned it way over the wall. And as soon as he hit it, he knew it. We all knew it. And, you know, I left my seat. I was so excited about it. And I think, you know, with players, I mean, you look at this guy. I mean, he's built like a swimmer. And he's just got such a good body to go out there and play a lot, to show up and do what Crawford's done for the Giants for, you know, 12 years, 13 years. He shows up and he plays. But what happens with players, you know, for the ages of 28 to 32, they maximize their power. And, you know, you look at him and you don't think a home run guy, but he is a home run guy. The big thing about him is you know, staying in the strike zone, because he wants to knock in the runs. He wants to get that hit that makes a difference in the game. And that's how you pitch him. It's sort of like Steve Garvey in his years with the Dodgers in the 70s and 80s. That's how you got him out. You couldn't walk him. You just throw him nothing but balls with men on base, and he'd swing at him. Well, you know, for Trey Turner, he's kind of that way, but he's changing. He's getting a little more discipline, and he's getting better pitches to hit, and he's not missing them. That's usually the case when a guy gets hot. He gets good pitches to hit, and he doesn't miss them. But, man, has he been hot. And on the grandest stage that you could possibly create in a March scenario, oh, my God. So it's been great, and I really think that you know, once they beat Venezuela, they completely freed up. I mean, look, they didn't. The Cuba team didn't match up, and you kind of sense that they didn't have their best team out there. But hey, nevertheless, you still have to take advantage of it. Well, the Yanks crushed them. I mean, the American team was good up and down the lineup. Every at bat was coming out. They had guys coming out the bench late and gave them no runs. So I just think that, you know, we're seeing the two best teams tonight, and they're being led by Turner, because he's the centerpiece right now on this team.
For sure. And in the whole idea that Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout are going to face each other, possibly Ohtani might be on the mound. And the sad thing is, Mike, for the Angels, that's the biggest game. I think you can say, honestly, this will be the biggest game either guy's played in.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, no question. I mean, look, what Trout's been in the playoffs one time, Ohtani's never been.
Yes.
You know, you don't know what it's like. Look, you know, we haven't had the WBC for 6 years. The last time I was here, Trout didn't play. And then when the U.S. team won, he was sitting on the sidelines going, damn, I should have done that. That looks like fun. Well, now he has to wait 6 years. He was going to be on that next team for the very reason you're talking about. These are adrenaline games. These are memorable games. These are a chance to have a championship moment. And he's never had one. I mean, I just think it's a little odd between the last WBC and now that they haven't been to the playoffs, especially since the format has expanded. But, look, when you're a professional player, this is what you live for, these moments. And for Ohtani and Trout, they're enjoying them, and we all sense that.
Yeah, and Mike, just think of it after watching Ohtani double to lead off the ninth inning and screaming on second base. Just think how good he'll look in black and orange, right?
Oh, man.
They've already got a uniform for him. They haven't unveiled the locker yet, but it's going to be as big as Bonds. He'll have his own TV set. Somebody will be rubbing his feet. It's going to be great.
I'll rub his feet, man. You know,
I was on social media, and immediately people had photoshopped pictures of him wearing a Giants hat. Just like, you
I
know,
must look good.
That's going to be a heck of a bidding war, right? So anyway, it'll be really, 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 really
and
fun.
You know what?
Yeah.
He's worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the guy is worth it. I think that he's one of the best athletes that I've ever seen in any sport. And, you know, I was so curious when I first saw the guy because he was tall. And here's a guy that throws hard. And, you know, all right, tall hitters, I'm never really that scared of. They've got holes and whatnot. This guy is so unique athletically. I mean, he just is like nobody I've ever seen before. And so you're going to pay a guy $500 million? He's worth it.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see. Good for my career. Sent me to rehab, though. So, I mean, that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Well, and, you know, the way Japan reacts to him and the way he performs and what he does, so much fun. People, don't miss out. Don't miss it. He might pitch tonight at some point in addition to trying to hit home runs. So everybody watch 4 o'clock on Fox Sports 1 or the Fox Sports app, and I would say just enjoy the heck out of it. Mike, the other thing that just kind of came up yesterday is on The Athletic is that the Players Association and the MLB Competition Committee are meeting sort of behind closed doors to maybe tweak the clock before opening day, which, by the way, is next week, so they better do it quickly. I don't know if you saw this story. They said it wouldn't be major, but it is interesting that they would even get in there and tweak. And it said that the players might be asking for more than 15 seconds between when there's nobody on base, ask for more than one timeout per at bat, and not have to be alert to the pitcher in 8 seconds. Now, you know, I don't know the exact details, but I don't know if you saw the story, if you had a reaction. You know, I'm kind of thinking, uh-oh, are they going to start
tweaking
start
it, maybe?
Going back,
yeah.
Start going back to Nomar Garcia adjusting his gloves again now? What's going on?
No, that's not going to happen. I mean, this has been wildly successful. We've knocked out 25 minutes per game, and that's exactly what they wanted to do. Now, they're going to tweak a few things. For example, a guy in the batter's box hits a ball off his foot. He needs some time to walk it off. Catcher gets dinged in the you-know-where. Well, he needs some time to kind of limp it off. And they also talked about, now Jason Stark had a great article about it, and they talked about the ball girl, the ball boy is running out to second base to get the equipment, you know, the protective shin piece or the wrist guard or bring him out a protective glove. Well, they have to adjust that. So there are a couple things, I think, that are just common sense that they have to kind of work out, and I think, you know, light injuries and certain moments in the game, you know, they will work those out. But for the most part, they're going to stay to the strict rules that they introduced at the beginning of spring. That's not going to go away. That's the one thing that they're adamant about. This is going to get enforced. This isn't going to be something that gets a lot more lax once the season starts. But the things that they're going to tweak, I think, need to be tweaked. But for the most part, I think it's a huge success, and I don't see it being massively re-edited.
Okay, well, that's good. I mean, obviously, this was a revolutionary change, and we all kind of went, wow, and then I see, uh-oh, they're tinkering with it. But maybe just minor stuff that we wouldn't even really notice with the naked eye, so something to keep an eye on. Oh, one other thing on the World Baseball Classic I want to circle back on was we're talking about the emotions in Japan and Ohtani screaming and yelling and everybody getting excited. Did you see Randy Arozarena, what a player this guy is, steal a home run, celebrate it, and then during the inning, sign an autograph?
Right. Yeah.
Did you see that, Mike?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, not only that, but throwing balls in the stands during the inning. No, I've never seen that.
No.
I mean, I've seen them, you know, guys, you know, barter for hot dogs, and they hand them, you know, they sneak the ball into the stands. But to openly throw one up in the stands during an inning, I've never seen that. Simply because it's not safe, you know. I mean, you may have two people watching, but maybe four people aren't. Somebody gets smacked on the side of the head, well, that's going to be an issue. But just having a ball. And I love what he's doing. It's just what players should do. They should make it a purpose to try and interact with fans in the stands. I mean, even if you're an opposing outfielder in a non-friendly city, you know, interact, have fun with it. And that's the other thing about this WBC thing. It's been so cool for so many reasons that fans have enjoyed it. At the ballpark, the experience at the ballpark's been insanely good, and I just wish I was there sitting there watching. I wish I was in the outfield, and I was having fun with Randy Arozarena. I just think that the whole thing has just been a hit for so many reasons, and there's another one.
Yeah, and I wonder if this will begin to sort of change the Major League Baseball season emotion a little bit. You know, as the younger kids take over and and us old dinosaurs move out, that the younger, that things like that will happen more often during a Major League Baseball season, perhaps.
I'm beginning to lean that way, you know, and I thought, you know, when we saw the Dominican-Venezuelan game, it was just, it was so electric, and it was so colorful, and it was a party, and just the, you know, for years we watched the World Cup soccer tournament, and then you'd see people up there with their drums, and there's just, it's just like a dance the whole time, especially when you're watching a Brazilian team play, and you're just thinking, damn, that looks like fun. Well, now you're seeing it in a baseball game. Venezuela, Dominican was, it was a scene. And then when, you know, there was an RBI in the second inning, guy knocks in a run, everybody jumped up out of the bench and they're out there like the guy just walked it off in the ninth. You never see that. You know, the bat flips, the emotion, and just, it was, a show. I think I'm starting to soften to the bat flips. I really am. Because you went from that game to the Great Britain U.S. game, and it was like watching a Norman Rockwell painting. It wasn't the same energy. Wow. Nobody was doing the same thing. It was just a different interpretation of how countries watch their game and how their players play. But I think what's coming out of this WBC is that it's okay to take the lid off. It's okay to rejoice, and fans are loving it. And none of that, but they're part of the celebration. They're part of the party. I don't know if you can realistically bring that type of energy into an 162-game season every game, but I think what has come out of this WBC, you might start to see being part of a big league ball game a little bit more than what we've ever seen.
I think so, and that's something for us to watch, and I think with each passing year it becomes more that way. All right, before we let you go, Mike, we need to mention really the Giants. They were off yesterday. They had a weekend. You got to see them on TV. Nothing super dramatic happened other than we starting to think that Haniger and Slater might start the season on the IL, which is no fun at all. But Baggerly told us that yesterday. Did you have any reaction to watching Giants baseball since the last time we saw you?
Yeah, it's just been a good camp. And I think that there's a lot of really good young players that are hitting the comfort zone and starting to really show Gabe Kapler and all the Giants just exactly what type of talent they have. I think that's the one thing that every game I've watched, there's been two or three guys that are going, who's that guy? Who is this guy? That's a good swing. Man, this guy's got good stuff. And it's all these young guys that I haven't really had a book on. So I just think that the camp continues to, and hopefully it continues to be healthy and keep going. There's a few guys, like you mentioned, Slater and Haniger, but it's 162 games. If you're going to have a couple guys go in the IL, now's the time to do it. Because you've got plenty of players. You got plenty of guys you're interested in. You got plenty of guys that you would like to see some, have some at bats once the season starts. So, you know, I'm not overly excited about it. Now, if it's an Edwin Diaz deal where you have a ruptured patellar tendon, well, that's a whole deal that is, you know, it's going to cost them a year. That's serious. Now, the Giants, knock on wood, have avoided all that, but I think they've had a great camp and, starting to win more games. Starting to stretch out your starters. Guys are starting to get, taking three at-bats and sometimes four at-bats in a game now. So it's starting to look more and more like a regular season game. So they're right on schedule.
All right. They play today against the Dodgers. They come home Sunday. Oh, last one for you, Mike. About to let you go. But we talked to Sergio yesterday. Man, Mike, you should have seen the reaction on the text line. People, because Sergio just comes all heart, right? All heart. And this whole idea that he's going to pitch on Monday at Oracle Park. I mean, we got people texting in saying they're crying in their cars.
He was emotional, Mike. He got emotional, yeah.
I know, and that's what we love about the guy. I mean, he brought that into the game. You know, he always had a little bit of an edge to him, but he was always happy. He always enjoyed the moment, and nobody interacted with the fans better than him. He was so good at it, and he took that wherever he went. I mean, there's just a joy to his game that we all love, and I mean, we love the fact that he's got the guts of a burglar, too. I mean, what he has done for this franchise and what he did in the as being part of the core four for those three championships is something we'll never forget. And the very fact that he's going to walk out in a Giants uniform, having come up through the organization, means a lot, not just to him, to all of us. And so I'm looking forward to that moment. It's going to be emotional. And there'll be a lot of tears. You know what? A lot of people are going to come to the game where they wouldn't have. And it's going to be for that reason to say goodbye to him one more time.
Yeah, an athlete who really just wore his heart on his sleeve, and it really connected with so many people. And look forward to Monday. All right, Mike, you enjoy, man. Get your prime spot on the couch. Get your peanuts, get your Cracker Jack. WBC, great drama, elimination game.
Enjoy, Mike. Yeah.
And we will talk to you Thursday.
Bet a bit.
Mike Kruko, ready to go for WBC. Paulie, we are, of course, you are listening to KMBR and KMBR FM, San Francisco, the sports leader, Cumulus Media Station.
Murph, not only am I listening to it, I'm living it. How about that? I'm listening and living it. And by the way, I want to throw a quick analogy out there because Mike, I thought it was interesting the way Mike said when he came back to the game and, you know, the American tradition, like how reserved everything was. It is like that. You know, I remember feeling that way about in the NHL being a young fan when I got turned on to the game is that the Ranger fans in New York were so crazy, so colorful, pot fan sucks, et cetera. Then they would go up to play like the Montreal Canadiens, the Yankees of the NHL with all their success, totally reserved. People were in suits and ties, hands folded, like only applauding when the goal was scored. And then maybe not even standing up. They just like applaud politely in their seats. Like they, and it was like shocking. I'm like, what's up these guys' A's? Like, we're having a great time at the Garden. We're Pepper and a pot fan with all kind of chants.
You were the Latino country. You were the Caribbean
That's
country.
Exactly yeah, yeah. what I'm saying. And I looked at that the same way. They probably look at American fans and be like, what's the matter with you guys?
I've wondered how bored these fans, these Latino players have been for 6 months when they come over here. They're like, man, this is it. Get me the hell out of here.
Yeah.
Get back to the Winter League. Did you see Big Poppy last night? Did you watch any of the postgame, Waterboy?
Yeah, with him and A-Rod.
Yeah, and he said when Lars Nootbaar came on, he was playing for Japan, even though he's a California kid.
Shout out Lars Nootbaar.
Dude, how about him being the first ever American-born player to wear the Japanese jersey?
Yeah, awesome.
Wow.
And he said the only word he learned was saigo, which means let's go. And then David Poppy was like, how do you say let's go kick some butt? And Lars is like, I don't know. But anyway, Poppy's, by the way, he's ripe for an SNL. He's almost turning into a parody of himself.
Oh, I think that's happened already, but I like where your head's at,
They've
Murph.
Done that before.
Yeah, it was Keenan Thompson.
Yes,
he's got huge,
he has this huge overlaugh that he does, and he's got the big deep voice and everything, and he's got the suit and everything, and he's just kind of like big. He's like Big Poppy.
He's
like
a good vibe machine.
Yeah, and when they were talking about Ohtani celebrating unusually, and he just shouted out in his Big Poppy language, that's because he's been hanging out with too many Latinos. He roared with laughter, and I was laughing at his own stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was like, "Is this an SNL skit?" And you're telling me it's already been done.
You know, what's funny is that Marcus is sitting there watching Big Poppy, and he's going, "Damn, if there was only a Yankee that was as universally loved as Big Poppy, that's got to drive you crazy, right? Being a Yankee guy, having to
watch." Well, you have a Yankee up there, A-Rod.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't think he's universally loved by anybody, including me, Murph.
He won me over. Yeah, he's become a big fan. Yeah. I love the guy.
I'd say one of the most unexpected developments in my entire 17 years with Paulie.
It's unprecedented.
He now loves A-Rod.
I hated A-Rod with the same kind of intensity that I don't like Kyrie and guys like that. And now, dude, that A-Rod's at the desk, I can't get enough. I'm like, give me some more, A-Rod.
You had a little thing for Peyton Manning, too.
Yeah, ooh. I picked some guys out along the way. I single guys out.
I was going to say, Paulie Mack, you did
make some more fun.
You did the turnaround on A-Rod. Yes. Are you going to do it for A-Rod?
Guaranteed I won't. Guaranteed I'm standing my ground on that. I almost cursed right there.
Paulie will take a controversial stance, including an anti-Tom Hanks stance.
Oh, loud and proud. I don't want him on my Rock and Roll Hall of Fame stage either.
Who the heck doesn't like Tom Hanks?
Me. He comes walking out at the Garden. I'm like, why is he up there?
All right. Hey, quick.
Telling me about Crosby, Stills, and Nash. I'm like, I don't need Hanks for that.
Six. Hey, you did that thing you do, right? That thing you do. Credo's not playing that thing you
do. No, I don't think
so. Top six sports stories on the other side. The Sports Leader.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band. Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.